Good morning.
Nice to be back here in Spanish Wells again. That's not just a platform pleasantry, because there's no platform here. I'm lucky to get a speaker stand. I talk like Tom Taylor, don't I? Just spit words out. But we really mean it. It's such a refreshment and encouragement for us to be here in Spanish Wells. And the saints here are such a blessing to us. We leave... Uh-oh. I said, I've preached on that subject. But it was a good message. We haven't been here for 2 years. And we sort of wondered, as we were coming over, my wife and I, we wondered if things had changed here at the Gospel Chapel. But we noted they hadn't. You're still singing that dumb jungle song. Everybody seems to know the last few words. Never mind the rest of it. Anyway... It's not the millennium yet, I could see that. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about early retirement. I noticed the little kids as they went out, each one of them seemed to have a Bible bag. They carry their Bibles. I hope the adults do too. And I'd like to talk to you about early retirement. I guess it came to mind because some of our friends have had to take early retirement. Sometimes because of deteriorating physical conditions, and sometimes because their jobs had been eliminated. We don't have a job for you anymore. We don't need you. Sometimes the company has gone out of business. This happens a lot in North Carolina. The textile things and whatnot have moved down towards Mexico. And sometimes folks have taken early retirement. And I found a fellow over in the Bible. His name is Barzillai. I don't know if you've ever had a Bible study on Barzillai, but his story is found in 2 Samuel chapter 19. 2 Samuel chapter 19. And he took early retirement. And pick up his story, let's see, 2 Samuel 19, about verse 31. About verse 31. It's an amazing thing, Barzillai. We don't speak of him very often, if ever. And yet the Holy Spirit in his wisdom has seen fit to include the story of Barzillai in God's holy, eternal word. And we remember in the book of Romans, it says, the things which are written aforetime were written for our learning. And so if his story is in the Old Testament here, it must be that we need to know something about it. Anyway, verse 31, Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogalim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 old, and he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. You notice what the Holy Spirit knows about you. Holy Spirit tells us about Barzillai. He knows Barzillai's name. He knows his background. He knows his age. He knows the fact, you see, that he was a very wealthy man. And it's an amazing thing that the Holy Spirit knows so much about us. And sometimes it's a rather frightening thing what the Holy Spirit knows about us. So all this, the information the Holy Spirit gives to you, anyway, then the story goes along. Verse 33, the king said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live, that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him which shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee, and whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over Jordan, and when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned unto his own place. Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him, and all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half the people of Israel. And we end our reading with that 40th verse. Before we get on into something else, same chapter, verse number 10. Something a little bit, by the way. 2 Samuel 19, verse 10. Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now this question. Now therefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing the king back? I'd like to do something we tell young men never to do, and that is don't take anything out of context, but I'd like to do it with that question this morning. Why speak ye not a word about bringing the king back? A couple of weeks ago, I heard somebody say the greatest need of the evangelical church today is to speak and teach more about the return of the Lord Jesus. And that may be a truism. It may be that we have gotten comfortable with the way things are here in life. Most of us enjoy a nice standard of living. And it may be that we don't speak often enough about bringing the king back. Lady told me one time, I hope the Lord doesn't come for 5 years because I'll have my house paid for by then. And I guess she didn't want to leave her property to unsaved relatives. But I think we ought to speak a word about bringing the king back. Why speak ye not a word about bringing the king back? It would straighten out our lives, wouldn't it, if we expected the next split second the Lord Jesus Christ would come again. We might have to write a letter. We might have to make a phone call. We might have to go and ask somebody's forgiveness. We might have to draw closer to the Lord. Why speak ye not a word about bringing the king back? But I found that in verse number 10, and I wanted to share it with you this morning. Now, my second sermon this morning has to do with Barzillai. Barzillai. Look at his declension. In verse 17, for instance, it speaks about that in chapter 19. But back in chapter 17 and verses 27, 29, speaks about what Barzillai had done to King David. Verse 27, it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim, the Shobai, the son of Nash, of Rabbah, the children of Ammon, and Maker, the son of Amiel of Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogalim, they brought beds and basins, cups, earthen vessels, wheat, barley, flour, parched corn, beans, lentils, parched pulse, honey, and butter, and sheep, and cheese of kind for David, and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Not only did they bring the stuff to eat, but they said, we will bring the utensils needed for them to eat with. They had everything covered, you see. We need this, we need this. And in order to have this, we need this and this and this. Apparently, they didn't leave a thing out to David. And so you try to get something out of this, and you say, well, he was benevolent to the king, but he was still an alien. You always read about him, Barzillai, the Gileadite, you see, from Rogalim. And here's a person who had a feeling for David, some sort of a respect maybe, and yet he never affiliated with David. It's like David and Jonathan. You read about Jonathan. He took off his sword, and he took off his sash, and he took off his outer garments, and see, gave them all to David. But one thing he never gave to David, and that was his sandals. He was never willing to stand where David stood. And I think every Sunday morning, friends, from 11 to 12 o'clock, we have people that go into some religious atmosphere somewhere, some church atmosphere, and they feel that they're on their way to heaven. They feel that they're saved because they are there. They have taken the hour out of their week, and they've gone to a place where hymns are sung and where the Lord Jesus Christ is spoken of, and maybe prayers are said, you see, and they feel, I'm on my way to heaven because I have gone into this area. But we've had folks in our assembly that have come in, and they have said, I have no quarrel with anything Christian. I have no quarrel with anything the preacher ever says from the Bible. I have no quarrel with the Bible. I have no quarrel with the church. I have no quarrel with some of the hymns that are sung, you see. And yet, as far as we know, they have never said, Lord Jesus, I want to be saved. And they think because they have no quarrel with the Lord, that they're on the Lord's side. That's Barzillai, you see. It's a Barzillai syndrome. And he was gentle to the king, and he was respectful of the king, and he ministered to the king because the Holy Spirit says he's a very wealthy man. He can do this, you see. And yet when David says, I want you to come with me, Barzillai says, no, there's something else I'd rather do. There's someplace else I'd rather be than with the king. Isn't that a shame? There's a lot of people that are round about us these days, and that's true. No quarrel with anything that goes on here. They may come to your services. They may come to the special programs that you have. And yet, as far as you know and as far as you can tell, they've never trusted Christ as Savior. He was a benevolent sort of a person, but he was always still an alien. Still an alien. All right, something else about him then. I wonder if his wealth was a hindrance to him. This is one of the big problems today. We have a high standard of living. Talked to a man a while back, trying to get him to trust the Lord as Savior. And he said, listen, I've got a great, great job, and it's a good paying job. I have a beautiful, loving wife. I have four wonderful children. We have three different houses that we can live in. We've got these cars, we've got these boats, we've got this and this and this and this and this. He said, if I got saved, what more could God do for me? I said, I think you're missing the whole point of the thing, you see. But you know, some aspects of evangelicalism today teach this sort of a thing. The idea that if you do the right thing and latch onto the right formula, it can be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Well, who wants to be poor and sick? Nobody does. But you see, it's this sort of thing, and that's what appeals to the human spirit. I want these things. I heard a fellow on the radio preaching, and he was preaching that tithing principle. You know, God operates by the tithing principle, and if you need $1,000, give God $100. God is no man's debtor. He quoted that. We agree with that. He says, if you need this $1,000, you give God $100. And God will see to it that you get $1,000 back. Now, the next thing he said was, of course, you say, well, God is invisible. God is omnipresent, but he's invisible. How can I give God $100? He said, you give me the $100, I'll see that he gets it. There's the scam, you see. That's where the rubber meets the road. But this sort of thing appeals to the human spirit. If your life is right, everything is going to be prosperous. You'll never get sick again. You'll never have a heartache. You'll never have a disappointment. Well, certainly Apostle Paul didn't know anything about that. Look at the problems he had. And certainly the Lord Jesus Christ didn't know anything about that. Look at the problems he had. But you see, this sort of thing is true. Was Barzillai's wealth a hindrance? Did he feel, I have everything. I can buy anything I want. I don't need God. Somebody said to me a while back, you know, Phil, what we have need of? Well, I didn't know where he was coming from, so I said, what? And he said, what we need is a good old-fashioned depression again. Yeah. Now, if you can remember the depression, I won't ask you to raise your hand over your head because you're in no physical condition to get your hand up that far. But I didn't remember the Depression as being all that wonderful. But now we capitalize it as if it was some golden age, you see. Times were hard in those days. But you know, Lester Wilson, who started a lot of the assemblies down through North Carolina, said, Phil, that was the right time to start an assembly. And I don't know how many assemblies he started. He said people didn't have any financial security in those days, so they were looking for eternal security. And he said they didn't have any other place to go because they couldn't afford to go anyplace. And they'd come out every night in the week, including Saturday nights, for 10 or 12 weeks. Especially since we didn't ever take up an offering, you see. And they knew they could have a night out, and they brought the kids with them, and we had, and 30 or 40 people get saved, there's an assembly. And he said he'd go down the road a ways, this sort. But he says you couldn't do that today. People are too self-sufficient today. They're too self-satisfied. In places where we used to go and have a week of meetings, you can't have a week of meetings anymore because the Christians don't come out. We got soccer practice. We got our favorite TV program. We got to do this. We got to drain the swimming pool. We got to do something else, you see. And the Christians won't support it. Christians won't support it. Well, I don't know. Guess I'd have to wait for another decade or so to find out if Barzillai's wealth was a hindrance to him. It may have been. Why do I need to follow the king? I've got all that I need right here. Also, look at some of the things he said. In verse number 35 of 2 Samuel 19, verse 35 is just filled with all sorts of information. He says, I am this day 80 years old. I'm 80 years old now. And he says, therefore, I'm too old to serve the Lord. Now, if you and I had opportunity, we could say to Barzillai, there's some other fellow I want you to meet. His name is Moses. And Moses spent the first 40 years of his life, remember, being an Egyptian prince. The second 40 years of his life, he spent being a shepherd on the backside of the desert. And he didn't start to serve the Lord until he was 80. The last 40 years of his life, he led the children of Israel. The first 80 years of his life was preliminary, was learning how. And he didn't go to work for the Lord until he was 80, you see. Some of the dear saints that you and I know are people way up in years. And they have all of this years of maturity and experience and of wisdom and knowledge in the Word with the Lord. And they're choice saints. Marvelous counselors. But I don't know how many times I've read down through this. I read it 3 times again yesterday. This passage that we read down through here, and I could never find any place in it where Barzillai said, I've got the leading of the Lord that I can retire at 80. I don't find that he said, as an answer to my prayer, the Lord says you can cut out at 80. I don't find anywhere in these verses that the Lord sent an angel or a letter or a prophet or somebody else to say, you're 80 years old, you're too old to serve the Lord now. I've never found any of that in the Scripture. You don't get any divine revelation at all. He decides he's too old. Last October, I was in Houston, Texas with John Phillips. His name ends where mine begins. And in the course of one of his messages, he says, I hate Florida. And well, we live in Daytona sometimes, you know. And I, he said, this is why I hate Florida, because you can't get retired folks to go to work. I said, okay, John, I'll agree with you on that. I'm not going to argue with you after the service. But that's true. But at one of the Southeast Workers Conferences, one of the men said, We admire, or envy, I guess is a word to use. We envy you folks who live in Florida. And I said, why? He said, because you get the cream of the crop. Our elders retire, and our Sunday school teachers retire, and everybody retires, and they move to Florida, and we've trained them for 40 years, and you get the benefit of it all. I said, most of the ones you send to us, we can't use. And that's what the guys did. They laughed. And I said, I don't mean to be humorous, but we can't get them involved. We can't get them to go to work. We said, wouldn't you do? Oh, no, I was an elder for 40 years, and if it looks like it's going to rain, I don't want to feel obligated to go to the meeting. If we want to get on our little camping trailer and go away, I don't want to have any responsibilities at all. Barzillai, I have decided that I'm not going to serve the Lord anymore. Now, on the other hand, thank the Lord, there's those come down in the winter, men and so forth out of Canada and different places, and they go to work for the Lord, and thank the Lord for them. But there's a lot that you just can't get involved in the work of the Lord. And they'll come and they'll sit, you know, and maybe they'll criticize, well, I liked him, but I didn't like him, and this sort of a thing, you know, but you can't get 40 years of experience and of wisdom and maybe of Bible teaching and all of this that they just won't avail themselves of. Or Barzillai. And as I say, nowhere in this can you say, Barzillai could say, I've got leading of the Lord that I can do this or that I'm supposed to do this. It's his idea. And how dangerous is it, friends, when you and I decide what is right for us and what is not right for us? That's a dangerous sort of a thing, you see. And he decided he was too old. You have that in the first part of verse 35. Then you go back to verse 34. He says, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? He decided in verse 34 to miss the blessing. First of all, he decided he was too old to serve the Lord. Then he decided to miss the blessing. blessing could have been his if he'd stayed with the king. You see, you think of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How many Christians today are missing the blessing because they're not where the king is? I don't mean they've lost their salvation, but they're not in close proximity to the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They're missing the blessing. To be able to see the king every day, and the king says, you'll eat at my table, and all these other things. A Barzillai says, thanks, but no thanks. I don't want to have any part of it. I'd rather lead my own life. I'd rather govern my own ship, you see, than to be with the king every day. And there's so many, you see, that miss him. We used to have marvelous men's prayer meetings when we lived up in Rhode Island. And one particular prayer meeting, I guess it's the most precious prayer meeting I was ever in. You could almost feel that you could reach out and touch the Holy Spirit, you see. And you were almost afraid to pray out loud for fear you'd break that sanctity. And one of the fellows who usually attended was not there. And one of the guys met him down at the post office. Oh, you should have been with us. We had such a precious time. Oh, the Lord was really there. It was such a, you see, this sort of thing. He left the post office, went to the grocery store. He bumped into one of the other guys. You should have been there. I tell you, we had the presence of the Lord, you know. And then he went to the gas station, bumped into another one. He said, I don't want to hear any more about that men's prayer meeting. I don't want to hear anything more about it, you see. And the next week we're having the prayer meeting. One of the men said, Lord, we want to thank you for last week's prayer meeting. Oh, Lord, it was so magnificent. It was so wonderful. It was so spiritual. Lord, we wished you'd have been there. Suppose ever, Lord ever adjusts our theology? I think he does. What he meant was this, you see. Anyway, he missed it. And Barzillai was missing the presence of the king because there was something better that he wanted to do. That he made up his mind he was going to take early retirement. And he didn't want to have anything more with the king. He decided he was too old. He decided to miss the blessing. Then you come back to 35. Verse 35, packed full of these sorts of things. You notice in verse 35, he says, can I discern between good and evil? He says, I don't know anymore what morality is. And you can write the year 2000 over this if you want. We live in that age today. And people say, we hear it in the radio, we read it in the newspapers, we hear people say it, well, whatever you want to do, that's your morality. You say, I read about that in the Old Testament. There was no law in those days. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And we're living in that age today, people. Whatever you want to do, whatever you want to be, whatever you want to have written on, I hate to read people's clothing. You know, we have the college break kids that come to Daytona Beach, and they have some vile things written on their clothing. I mean, besides Hart, Schaffner, and Marx. They have some vile things written on their clothing. Double meaning sorts of things. And I hate to read people's clothing, you see. But you see, it's guaranteed to you under at least the Constitution of the United States. And we live in that age where I can do anything I want to do. I can be anything I want to be. I don't know anymore what's right or wrong. And if you take the Bible out of society, you've heard it said before, you've lost your yardstick. You don't know what's right and wrong anymore. In the United States, some new phenomenon has started. Maybe if you visited, you've seen it. Of course, one of these days, some liberal's going to get upset and take it to the Supreme Court and going to have to tear it down. But that is, there's some new billboards along the highways in the states. And they are statements that God supposedly made. And you see this on the most recent one I saw. The billboard says, we need to talk. And it's signed God. You see. Now, that's a... There's another one, rather harsh. I hope I don't upset anybody, but eternity, smoking or non-smoking, signed God. That's right. But maybe it'll stir somebody up. Maybe it'll make them think about it. Another one says, I love kids, signed God. Now, you know, somebody's going to be upset about that and go, I'm offended. I said something one day, and the lady came up afterwards, and she said, I'm offended by what you said. And I said, I'm offended that you're offended. And we ended in a sort of a stalemate. Both of us were offended, you see, this sort of a thing. But Barzillai says, I don't know anymore what's right or wrong. Well, you get away from the king and you won't know what's right or wrong. And sometimes, maybe Luton and maybe Frank have found this out, hope not, but some of the assemblies I've gone to, they say, we don't want you to preach anything negative. And so I sit there, you get this direction about 2 minutes before you're supposed to preach. And so I thought, well, what could I preach that wouldn't be negative? A lot of the Ten Commandments are negative. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Have to throw away a lot of those. I said, well, I can't preach the gospel because some people sitting here think they're saved already and they're not going to want to be told without the Lord Jesus Christ you're eternally lost. That's going to upset somebody. Can't preach the gospel. Can't preach baptism because some people believe in pouring and some people believe in immersion and some people believe in sprinkling and some people never do get baptized. I guess they believe in some sort of dry cleaning. But at any rate, I can't preach the rapture. Is it premillennial? Postmillennial? Are we in the amillennial? See? And what time I had to sit there, I couldn't think of what I could preach that wouldn't be upsetting to somebody or negative in some way or other. And I guess I must have preached something negative because I was never invited back again. Some places I've only had to go once, you know, and put a positive spin on that. But anyway, he says, I don't know what's right or wrong anymore. And friends, if you don't stick close to the Bible, you won't know what's right or wrong anymore. The age in which we live will be the common denominator of what you can do or not do. And most of it is stuff you can do, and hardly anybody says no anymore. He decided that he had the loss of morality. In 1 Kings 11, I won't turn to it, 1 Kings 11, but it speaks about Solomon there, who loved many strange women, who in the last days of his life turned him away to immorality and to idolatry, you see. Why is this man that ever lived apart from the Lord Jesus? And yet, because he had that loss of morality, he was like a ship without a rudder, you see. And that's for Barzillai. I says, I don't know what's right or wrong anymore. And also, in verse 35, the next thing he says, can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? This is the loss, you see, of the desires of the body. And many times this is true when you get older. A fellow was in a restaurant we were at. Incidentally, when we see people bowing their heads and giving thanks for the food, I always like to commend them for it, you know. And they're always embarrassed. Hold on. I said, no, that's a good thing. We're grateful to the Lord. And this fellow went by, and he had something that looked like gruel. And yet he had the choice of ham and roast beef and all the other stuff. And I said, we kind of end up the same way we start out, don't we? He said, yeah, we develop ulcers. We have to go back to baby food again. We end up without teeth. We end up without hair. We end up, as a fellow did, who used to be in... Well, he used to come to some of our meetings in Rhode Island. He was a multimillionaire. He said, when I was 19 years of age, I said, above all things, when I get to be 35, I want to be a millionaire. And he says, and I made it. I made it. But I lost my wife. He said, I lost my son. He said, I lost my health. Now I don't have anything to do but sit here in this big chair with a curtain pinned back and watch the world go by my front steps, you see. He says, I wish I could go back to 19. I would make a different decision. I'd make a different decision. Here he had a lot of money, and he was eating baby food. Eating baby food. And Barzillai says, it doesn't make any difference to me anymore. The desires of the life, you see, are gone, because I won't be with the king. Desires of the body, verse 35, he also speaks about the desires of entertainment. Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Either he couldn't adapt to the music that was sung or played in those days, or maybe he has some deafness that's entered in. Maybe he can't adjust to it and this sort of a thing. The desires for entertainment are gone. Here you can take Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verses 1 and 4 and so on and so forth, that you need to get saved while you're young. Before the desires of the body get rather passe, you see. Serve the Lord in the goodness. Look also at this. Verse 36, Barzillai says, thy servant will go a little way. over Jordan with the king. My dedication is partial. My submission to the king is part-time. I'll go a little way over Jordan with the king. And then I thought, aren't you glad the Lord Jesus himself didn't say that? You know, the book of Acts says, he being delivered by the predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God. There was the meeting in some eternity past, you see, where God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit had this sort of a conference together, and it was decided that God the Son would come down to earth, be born of a woman, take upon the enfleshment of the incarnation, go to the cross of Calvary, shed his life's blood, and so on and so forth. And suppose he had said to the other two, well, now, wait a minute. I know what's going to happen to me. I'm going to be spit upon. I'm going to be scourged and all these other sorts of things. I will go and I will be born of the Virgin Mary. But after the shepherds have come and done their thing, and about 2 years later the wise men come and bring their gold and frankincense and myrrh, when I've had this adulation and this worship, I'm coming back home again. Suppose he had said, no, I'll go a little bit farther. And I'll live out my first life on earth as a mature man in what the theologians call Christ's year of popularity, when thousands followed him. And he fed thousands of people here and thousands of people there. But then one day he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And they said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand this? And from that time on, many walked no more with him. And he says, when I've lost my popularity with the masses, then I'm going to come back home again. Aren't you glad he didn't say that? And you can trace it all the way through. And when he is betrayed by Judas and denied by Peter, and when they all forsook him and fled, he told them they would, and they did. And then on the cross, when his detractors said, come down from the cross and we will believe thee, suppose he said, when they say that, I'm coming back home again. Oh, aren't you glad? You and I wouldn't be saved this morning if he had done that. If he'd gone only a little way, you see, in doing the will of the Lord. But finally he could say, it is finished. And then on the third day, you see, come out of the tomb, and then ascended back to the Father again, showing that our sins have been paid for, the guilt is all gone. Barzillai says, I have decided how far I will go in being with the king. And you and I can't afford to do that, friends. Our dedication, our consecration has to be full and complete, full and complete. I'll go a little way with the king. And then he also in verse 37 of your chapter, he has the lure of the old life. Let thy servant pray thee turn back in that I may die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. The lure of the old life. I've tried to lead people to the Lord and they say, well, I'd like to get saved. I know I need to get saved. If I don't get saved, I'll be eternally lost. But what would my friends say if I got saved? What would my family say? What if I left this congregation and came to the gospel chapel? Why, my mother and father were buried from that other church. Why, this sort of thing happened, and my children were baptized in that. And there's a lot of people just tied down to the old life, to the old associations, you see. Let me go back to my own city and die there. Is that any great thrill? You know, is that any great thrill? One fellow said to me, I wish I knew what city I'd die in. I said, why? He said, I wouldn't go there. But the lure of the old nature is something that keeps people from going on with the Lord. What would people say if I went down and joined that chapel, you see? You know, we don't fit anywhere. We don't fit anywhere in the religious society. You say, what church do you go to? Well, I'm Mormon, I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, Well, we don't have any hierarchy, do we? We don't have any of these sorts of things. And so some people have defined us as being a cult. And if the governments ever do something against the cults, you and I are in trouble. You and I are in trouble, you see. We don't fit. No accepted established norm, you see. Let me go back and die and be buried by my mother and my father. The lure of the old connections. And then finally, you see, he introduces Chimham. He's mentioned two or three times here. We don't know who Chimham was. Was he the son of Barzillai? We don't know. Was he a young fellow just happened to be standing there? Here, do stuff to him, you see. We don't know. But Chimham says, I'll go with the king. And the king says, I'll accept Chimham. And you turn way over to the book of Jeremiah. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 41, and Chimham appears again, or at least the descendants thereof. Jeremiah, chapter 41, and verse number 17. Jeremiah 41:17 talks about some folks on a journey. They departed and dwelt in the habitation, or in the property of Chimham. Same fellow. Which is by Bethlehem to go to enter into Egypt. I suggest to you, and I don't think I'm straining scriptures, Mary and Joseph and the soon-to-be-born Christ child came to Chimham's property. Only one inn in Bethlehem, and it was the sojourn, the stopover place of Chimham. And I suggest to you that Mary and Joseph appeared at the inn that belonged to Chimham, or at least his descendants, and wanted a place for the night. And, of course, the innkeeper says, no, we're all filled. And so the Lord undoubtedly was born on the property of Chimham. Now that sort of makes shivers go up and down your spine. To think Barzillai looked at all that you missed. And you suggested Chimham as a substitute for you. Now maybe before the Lord received his enfleshment, maybe he passed by Barzillai in paradise, if indeed he was there, and says, I'm on my way to be born in the property of Chimham. Look at all you've missed, Barzillai, because you decided to take early retirement. Because you decided you couldn't serve the Lord anymore. You didn't have the youth to serve the Lord. But more than that, you didn't have the desire to serve the Lord, and you took early retirement. May the Lord deliver us from believers who have decided how far they're going to go in the service of the king. Or the fact that, well, I've done all I can do, and this sort of thing, and that sort of thing, and so on and so forth. It's amazing. Some of the folks, as I say, we meet down in Florida, I'm too old now to serve the Lord, but they're not too old to go golfing every day. They're not too old to go fishing every day. They're not too old to do something else, but every other sort of a thing, they're too old. Deliver us, Lord, from early retirement. Now let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this passage of the Holy Scriptures. We thank you, Father, that we have been taught that heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word shall never pass away. And Father, may we just now be like those in the upper room who said, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit might continue to be our teacher. And Father, we pray that these things might be blessed by the Holy Spirit in all of our lives, from the youngest here to the eldest. For Father, we pray with much thanksgiving in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Amen.